Thank you for that time together. We had an extended opening today, but wanted to look back over 75 years even with our music, as well as look forward. So thank you, instrumentalist. Thank you, choir. Thank you, quartet. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you, each one who were a part of that. I want to give a little quiz for you now before we move ahead. I just want you to think in your own mind when you first started regularly attending either Forest Avenue Tabernacle or Shannon Hills. Now, some of you, you're here for the first time, so you know it's been less than a year. So, but some of you have been here a long time. Now, we don't have time to go through every year or even probably every decade, but I do want to, just going to do this by a show of hands, at least in the beginning. So, how many of you have been attending Shannon Hills for less than 5 years or less? If that's you, just raise your hand. 5 years or less. Look at that. We've had a lot of people come in. Praise God for the people who have come in and begun fellowshipping with us. Okay, how many of you would be between 5 and 10 years that you've been attending? 5 and 10 years, still a good number. Very good. How about 10 to 20? 10 to 20 years. 10 to 20, still got a lot. I said I won't go do every decade, but I am. All right, 20 to 30. 20 to 30 years. Wow, it's pretty evenly broken up so far. This is great. How about 30 to 40? 30 to 40 years. Wow. Still, 30 to 40. How about 40 to 50? 40 to 50. They're still going up. Praise the Lord. How about 50 to 60? My hand gets to go up now. All right, 50 to 60. All right, 60 to 70. Wow, it's less, but we still have between 60 and 70. All right, now we're getting on up there. All right, who has been attending Forest Avenue or Shannon? Well, it'd have to be Forest Avenue too, and then Shannon Hills for more than 70 years. More than 70 years. Hold them up high. Hold them up high. Very good. Okay. Now I'm trying to see. Yeah, give them a big hand for those. Yeah. All right. If you can stand up. Stand up. Now, Dick, you don't need to stand up. We see you, boy. You're going to stand up anyway. If you've been at 70 to 75, stand up. If you've been attending, wow, 70 to 75. All right, here, there are more of them coming up now. Praise the Lord. All right. Any of you at 75? Let's go all the way. 75 from the very beginning. Was anybody, Dick, you were here, 75, right? Anybody else? From the get-go, all right? My dad, all right? Anybody else? I know there's some others that may not be here this morning. All right, let's give them a big hand, 75 years. Wow. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you to turn for a brief thought to Psalm 115. We're going to be doing a little history lesson this morning. We're going to be looking at some slides, and I do not have anyone to blame. I can't blame the song leader this morning for not giving me enough time, but I don't know I'm going to actually get to the sermon, but we'll save it for another time maybe and weave in some thoughts to our history lesson. But Psalm 115, I just want to read the first three verses here as we reflect back over 75 years and as we use that 75-year history to not only give us a great joy and enthusiasm for the past, but also, even more so, to start from the present and go into the future. Psalm 115, follow along or listen as I read this. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles or the nations say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. And so this morning, as we look back over 75 years, as we look at today and as we look forward, we want to say from our hearts, Lord, no glory to us. This is no glory to anybody in this room, though people in this room may be mentioned and already have been applauded. But ultimately, the glory goes to God. It's to His name. It's because of His mercy. Were it not for the mercy of God, this local church would not be here. If it were not for the truth of God, there would be no reason for this local church to be here. And you see, our God is in heaven, and people may look around at times and they may look and say, well, look at this that's occurring, or look at that happened in your local church, or look at this problem or that suffering or this situation, and they'll say, where is your God? And you know what we say? Our God's in heaven. And He does whatever He pleases. And He is the one who birthed this local church 75 years ago. And He is the one who has sustained this local church for 75 years. And He is the one on whom we are counting as we go into the future. 75 years ago. I want to actually go back a little further than that. To 1925. You see, in 1925... 19-year-old amateur hockey player up in Canada named Lester Wilson trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He had heard the gospel as a child, but he had not received the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And after 2 weeks of being deeply burdened about his spiritual condition, Lester Wilson received the Lord Jesus as his Savior, and very soon he began to share the gospel, not only individually, as we all should be doing, but God used him to share the gospel publicly, and he began to preach. And in 1931, having a burden on his heart, all the way from Canada, God put a burden on his heart for North Carolina. And one night in the prayer meeting, there in his home assembly, one of the men stood up and prayed, Lord, we need somebody down in North Carolina. Would you raise up somebody, maybe even from our own assembly? We've been hearing about the needs down there for the gospel. And that one who answered the call was Lester Wilson. And he came to North Carolina. And he was settled in the Raleigh area. And one day, he was looking at a map and he noticed four good-sized cities seemingly on a line out from Raleigh. There was Durham, there was Burlington, there was Greensboro, and there was Winston-Salem. And Lester Wilson prayed and said, Lord, I am going to trust you to put assemblies in each of these cities. And so in 1934, Lester Wilson moved to Winston-Salem, and he began a gospel campaign there. And as he preached the gospel, people trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. They heard the good news that though they were sinners, the bad news, the good news was that Christ died for our sins. The great news was that He rose again, and that by faith in the Lord Jesus, by simply receiving the Lord Jesus, recognizing Him as the one who died for our sins, God in the flesh, that if we will realize that He died and rose again and took our place, and that God wants to forgive us of our sins, He said, if you'll receive the Lord Jesus, if you'll trust Him alone for your salvation, not your good works, not your church attendance, not turning over a new leaf, but only Him and His work, and you will trust Him, He said, I will save you. And people believed that gospel message from the Word of God, and they trusted the Lord Jesus, and a local assembly was started there in Winston-Salem. Well, that line next led to Greensboro, and Lester Wilson, burdened for Greensboro, visited a young man who had also moved to the North Carolina area. He was also from Canada, only lived 30 miles away from Lester Wilson in Canada, but they did not know each other growing up. And he was a boxer, an amateur boxer. And he had come to Western North Carolina to preach. His name was Harold McKay. And Lester Wilson came and visited with Harold McKay and said, Brother Harold, I have a burden to go preach the gospel in Greensboro. I wonder if the Lord would have you and your wife and your family to move to Winston-Salem and to begin to help the new believers there and to help build up that local church, and also to come over to Greensboro as you can and assist me with the gospel. And Harold and Gertie McKay said, we believe that God is leading us to do that. So while Lester Wilson moved to Greensboro to focus on evangelism, Harold McKay moved with his family to Winston-Salem again to help there in that work. And on June the 6th, 1939, Lester Wilson and Harold McKay came to the authorities in Greensboro and requested permission to use a tent in the Greensboro city limits to hold gospel meetings. And on June the 18th, 1939, a gospel tabernacle was set up. You see a picture of it here. It was more than a tent. It had a wooden structure with a cloth frame. And Lester Wilson would set that up, and he would have gospel services. And when people would come from around the city, they would hear the good news of the gospel. It would be presented from different passages in the scripture, different texts with different emphasis, but the gospel message was always the same. And you know what? It's still the same. And that gospel message will never change. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And if you're here this morning and you're hoping to get to God through any other way than the Lord Jesus and through faith in Him alone, then God says you're not getting to Him. And so Lester Wilson preached that gospel message, and many came, and they began to hear the gospel. Here's a map of downtown Greensboro today, just to give you a little idea of some of the places the tent was set up. And you can see Green Hill Cemetery up here, if you know where that is, in the north part of the downtown area. There's the ballpark today, so that'll give you a little idea too. Well, he first set up his tabernacle there on Wharton Street, just about 5.5 miles from where we are now, north, right beside Green Hill Cemetery. There in June. And then in August. In August, he set up the tent on Eugene Street. I'm not sure where exactly. That's Eugene. I'm not sure where exactly on Eugene it was. But there for about 15 weeks, he preached the gospel every night but Saturday in that wooden cloth tabernacle. It's called a tabernacle because as the Israelites in the wilderness had that movable structure where God said, I will meet with my people, so he was able to move that from place to place and set that up. There would be between 45 and 150 attending in that tabernacle in the winter of 1939, 1940. Bible studies with new believers and other believers in the area who were attracted to this enthusiastic group of Christians who were taking God's Word as it is God's Word and seeking to teach that and live that and practice that. And they begin to meet together for Bible studies. And then in that spring of 1940, he set his tent up on Sycamore Street, as you see there on that bottom red arrow. And as people got saved and people met and they studied the Word of God, they had a desire to see a New Testament pattern assembly started. It wasn't that there was no place in Greensboro that was teaching the Word of God as the Word of God. There was. But Mr. McKay himself said they wanted to see not only a place where the Word of God was taught in a sound way, but also where scriptural principles of gathering as a New Testament church were practiced. And that's what they weren't seeing. Not that the other churches weren't practicing any of the New Testament pattern practices, but some of them they were not. And so they began to pray about that. Here you see that bottom yellow arrow pointing over to Forest Street, right near UNCG. It was Women's College at that time. Lester Wilson, in May of that year, heard about a building that was for sale. It was the Forest Avenue Baptist Church, and they were going to move, and they had put their building up for sale. And on July the 26th, of 1940, Lester Wilson and a brother who was there ministering, Ray Schuster, sat in a car outside of that building, and they looked at that building and they discussed if that could be the building that God would have them to purchase. W.B. Andrews Sr., also known as Pop Andrews, Dick Andrews' dad, he walked by, saw the men sitting in a car, and stopped and began to talk with them. And from that, it was led to where 12 Christians in 1940 purchased that building for the enormous sum of $5,000. And that was an enormous sum in that day. Not an enormous sum for a building like that today. But these individuals said, we're willing to leave friends and family and church connections to meet in a way that, you know, a year or two before, most of them had never even heard about. And now they were willing to take that step, wanting a local church that will be sound in the faith and also scriptural in its practices. So they bought the Forest Avenue Baptist Church building. You see here with an addition on it. I don't believe that the Sunday school addition was there originally, and that was added on later. But they bought that building, and on September the 25th, 1940, on a Wednesday night, Bible study was held there. 50 people present as they came together to study the Word of God. And the first Sunday in October of that year, they had their first Sunday meetings. They had 45 that morning at the Sunday school. 90 were at the preaching meeting. And that night, as they preached the gospel on Sunday evenings in those days, 125 came. They named it the Forest Avenue Tabernacle. Why? It's on Forest Street. Why the Forest Avenue Baptist Church called it Forest Avenue and why we kept that name, I don't know. But maybe that sounded better than Forest Street Tabernacle. So anyway, that was the name that was given to it to reflect the assembly's origins in Lester Wilson's wood and canvas tabernacle. And so they began to meet there and gather together in that building. For the local church. And there you see it in the old days. Here, this is not going back that far, but this gives you a picture in your mind. If you weren't here during those days, how many of you attended at least one meeting at Forest Avenue Tabernacle? Raise your hand if you ever attended a meeting there, okay? Put your hands down. Now raise your hand if you never attended a meeting there. You never had seen the inside of it. Okay, there's way more that haven't than have. Here's what the inside of that building looks like. You can see the balcony, and you notice the fan there, right? No AC in that building. Here are a couple other pictures outside, some different ones who were gathered for different gatherings. Here's one of the boys' Sunday school classes. Now, this fella right here, he still goes here. You probably saw him this morning. Where's Paul Amos? Paul, you still here? Raise your hand up. He might be out guarding the door or something. But anyway, well, he's hiding over there. Okay, but that's Paul Amos and some of his... There he is. Hey, Paul, there you are, buddy. Up there, he hadn't changed a bit. All right. Hadn't changed a bit. Here's some others who were gathered out there. I think this is a group of girls, maybe Sunday school class girls or some of the other gatherings. Here's a gathering for a Sunday school picnic. That might be at Curry School across the street. I'm not sure about that. But then this is a group of children who didn't come to the Sunday morning Sunday school, but they came to a Sunday afternoon Sunday school. At 3 o'clock in the afternoons, some of the brothers from the meeting at Forest Avenue Tabernacle would go over to an area called Hallberg, not too far from where we are today. And they would round up children and meet in a storefront building and share the gospel with them. And that went on for a number of years. I think it started in 1941. Well, you know what else happened in 1941? On December the 7th, Pearl Harbor was attacked. And the United States was drawn into a war that had already been going on, affecting just about all of Europe and much of Asia and the South Pacific. And our nation was drawn into that. In 1943, it was November 4th of 1943, Harold McKay and his wife Gertie and his son Jack and his son Stan and Ron, you weren't quite born then yet. But they moved to Greensboro because Lester Wilson was following that line and it was time to head on east down that line that he saw on the map to share the gospel. And so Harold McKay was burdened to follow him to Greensboro and then probably on to Burlington and on to Durham. But praise God for us that Harold McKay was led by the Lord to stay in this area, in Greensboro. And he stayed and he taught the Word of God, not only in the meetings, but he would travel to other meetings. He would go many different places, but also on the radio. Here's an old card back when Your Bible Says was on WCOG. Later they switched to WBIG. And I think they had a daily radio program for many years. Morning in My Heart was that the daily program. And here they would encourage people to listen and then, of course, come to Forest Avenue across from Curry High School. In the spring of 19, and that radio program, by the way, went on till 1984. Over 40 years, Mr. McKay and others continued that radio program. In the spring of 45, a cottage prayer meeting started in a home. They would have singing and prayer and ministry of the word, and they would spend an extra time in prayer in addition to the regular prayer meeting. In July of 1945, with the war coming to an end, the Blue Ridge Bible Conference met for the first time. Later, a Bristol Bible Conference would begin in 1957, today known as Skyland. And then on September the 2nd, 1945, World War II officially ended with a Japanese surrender. On New Year's Eve of 1945, that little group of believers who had stepped out in faith and taken that $5,000 payment, they burned their mortgage. They had paid that off. God had been faithful. To God be the glory. In the summer of 1946, they felt they needed something. Many children were getting saved in Sunday school. Some of you probably got saved through our Sunday school. Some of you children may have gotten saved, or you will get saved, we hope, through our Sunday school. And they began to see the need to teach those boys and girls church truth. And living as believers, the Sunday school in that day was primarily a gospel outreach. So they started a Friday night meeting called the Junior Christian Bible Club. And those Junior Christian Bible Clubs were to teach these children who were getting saved. 1946, let me just tell you the weekly schedule. On Sunday, they would have the breaking of bread to start the day off, as we do now. Then they'd have their Sunday school, the family Bible hour. That afternoon, some would go and do the Hallberg Sunday school at 3 o'clock. Some of the ladies would go to the women's jail at 5 p.m. and share the gospel. The youth would gather at 6:45, and then the gospel meeting would be at 7:30. On Monday night, they had two levels of a Schofield Bible course class. On Tuesday night, the Sunday school teachers would get together to discuss the Sunday school and ways to improve. On Wednesday night, the Philathea, Lovers of God, Young Women's Club would meet. On Thursday night, they would have their prayer and Bible study. It was on Thursday night in those days. And then on Friday night, the Junior Christians Bible Club, a busy local church. In February of 1947, I read they had 86 at the youth meeting. All right, young people, let's get going. Let's get fired up, right, and start inviting even more friends. Our youth group is growing, and we praise God for that. Maybe the Lord will bring it back up to 86. But you think that's a challenge? In June of 1947, at Sunday school, and this I don't think this includes the adults, there were 401 in attendance at Sunday school. The summer of 47, the first youth camp started. In August of 1947, Daily Vacation Bible School. Just some pictures here. You might be able to look and see some folks that you know there. There's Mr. McKay, Dick Andrews. There's Andy Andrews, Ron McKay. And you can see some others back up in there. I won't try to take the time or strain my eyes to find out who they are. But here are just some different pictures. Here's some of the deacons, men who had served as deacons during some of those early years. Some of the male Sunday school teachers over the years, still here at Forest Avenue is when this was taken. Some of the nursery workers. Here's the young adult committee. Well, they're not so young anymore. They could plan some senior programs now. Some children's workers that were going out. And then missions were an important part of this local church. Not only locally. It wasn't just an interest here. It wasn't just being built up with the truths of the Word of God so that we could be blessed, but rather that we could go out and share the gospel here in the city, and many people were doing that, but also around the world. And Edna Elmore, the lady there in the picture, went to South Africa as a missionary commended by this assembly. There she met Boss Monick, who was also a missionary, and for many years they served the Lord there in South Africa. They were the first of the ones who have been on the mission field commended from this local assembly, and we continue to support missionaries that have been from here, but also from other places. Mr. and Ms. McKay continue to serve the Lord faithfully together. Jim Redling came in for a while to begin to assist Mr. McKay, particularly during the time when he had the tumor removed and had a facial paralysis and was away for a time during that. But things continued to grow over the years, and they got to the point where they really didn't have enough room there in the Forest Avenue Tabernacle. And so they began to pray, and they purchased a 5-acre tract of land in Shannon Hills. And they began to pray, and the plan was to have a hive-off branch assembly begin to meet here, and then the other the home assembly would continue to meet. But after a time of prayer before the Lord, they came to the conclusion. Mr. McKay was out during that time because of his physical situation, and he was praying, being felt led of the Lord that the assembly should stay together. When he came back, the elders said, "Brother, we've been praying, we feel like the assembly should stay together," and he said, "I believe the same thing." So here's an artist's drawing. It's out in the hallway of what he thought the building would look like. And then on March the 27th, 1966, had a groundbreaking ceremony on this very property. People gathered together, and Mr. McKay took that first shovel full of the dirt and held it up there. Had a variety of people speaking that day representing the different departments. One little fella preached his first sermon that day. He had memorized it on a piece of paper. His name is Mark Shelley, so I stuck his picture in there, representing the Sunday school at that time. And then Mr. McKay shared from the Word of God as we moved ahead with the construction on this building. There you can see some pictures of the building going up, the steeple being placed, and ultimately Shannon Hills Chapel, as it was known at that time. June the 3rd of 1967, a wedding was held here. Was that George and Bunny McClintock? Is that right? Is that the first wedding? Kay, do you know? Or is that right? That's not right. Who was it? Tanya Alley, okay, on that day. All right. So that was the first wedding here in that building. But that does remind me about Myrtle McClintock. She was the first person saved at Forest Avenue Tabernacle after they moved and began to meet as a local assembly. So she was groundbreaking there. On Sunday, June the 4th, the first meeting here. In 1968, Brother Eddie Schwartz came, and he began to work with Mr. McKay as they served the Lord together. In 1972, the chapel house was purchased. Over the year, it's been refurbished. Interesting quote I heard Mr. McKay. I listened to several of his messages this week on Voices for Christ that had to do particularly with anniversary type things. And he made this quote in 1979. He said, "There is no generation gap at Shannon Hills Chapel. And here's the evidence," if we want to take some conviction, "here's the evidence in his mind that there was no generation gap at Shannon Hills Chapel." He said, "So many of all ages attend the prayer meeting. So many of all ages attend the prayer meeting." And he saw that as an evidence that there was not a generation gap, because the believers of all ages were coming together, recognized the importance of prayer. Here is a picture at the 50th anniversary, I think, and Larry Batts, who came in later to serve, our brother Charles Crawford, who was already an elder and who began to serve full-time. They're there with Mr. McKay and Lester Wilson and our brother Dick Andrews. And then in 1989, there was another groundbreaking, this time for the activities building, where we're going to go be eating in just a few moments. And different representatives were also there. Here, I wanted to put that up, mainly because I wanted you to look into the background. You see those buses back there? That was the early days of the van ministry. Now you have to have a special license to drive a bus like that. We use a van, but that was going on back in those days as well. Here we have, I just wanted to put that picture up there, three pillars, as it were, of this local church. Oh no. Don't you don't want to do that now. No, we definitely don't want to rescue now. Okay. Our brother Dick Andrews on the left, who we praise God is able to be here with us this morning. Let's give my brother Dick a big hand. Thank the Lord for Dick. We're so thankful that brother Dick can be here. He's been a vibrant part of this local assembly from the very beginning. Lester Wilson in the middle there, who preached the gospel in this area and who saw this assembly begin. Harold McKay on the left. On the right? No, on the left. Depends on which way you're looking at it. On my left, on your right, who saw the need to teach the Word of God, that this assembly could be built up. And it has been, praise God, over the years. But again, as we go back to Psalm 115 in verse 1, it's not unto us, O Lord. Not unto Dick Andrews, not unto Lester Wilson, not unto H.G. McKay. Not unto any individual, not unto any couple, not unto any family be the glory, not unto any Sunday school class, any ministry, any individual or group or family that's come into this assembly, that's visiting today, that's ever been here, that anything to do with it. No, it's to your name that we give the glory this morning. It's all glory goes to God. And as we go into the future, and I just wanted to share with you quickly, as I said, I didn't have time to get to my message, but we'll share that another day. But I did want to share one quote that I actually was listening to Dick on a tape give a report at an inter-assembly men's meeting in Burlington. And he said this: "Let's look at the past, but just for a little while, because we want the past to launch us into the future." Now, that's the heart of Dick Andrews, and that's the heart of God, and that's the heart of the elders here, and that's the heart of this assembly, and I hope that's your heart. That we look to the past, not that we can say, "Wow, look how good we were. Look at all that we did." No, look at what God did. You see, He's in the heaven, and He does whatever He pleases, and all because of His mercy, all because of His truth. And we desire to remain faithful in the Word of God. And as we have sought to be over 75 years, and you know, 75 years ago, the brothers who started this meeting sought to be, and they probably had never heard this term, but they sought to be culturally relevant in that day. And they were effective in that, reaching the culture where they were, recognizing what it was that people were thinking, knowing they needed the gospel, coming in a way that was effective at that time. And we from here desire to continue into the future, always being steadfastly on the Word of God, the Bible. A number of years ago, we added Bible to our name, Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, but always seeking to be culturally relevant, having an impact, not just coming to meet here and then going out and saying, "Wasn't that wonderful to be together?" But coming together here that we might go out there. We're going to go up here. We're going to have lunch in a minute. We're going to fellowship. We're going to enjoy each other. But then we're going to leave, and you're going to go to your home, and I'm going to go to my home, and we're going to go into different places. And we want to take that same gospel message that Lester Wilson brought here over 75 years ago, the same gospel message that's been preached faithfully down through the years. And at some point, I'm going to preach a message entitled, "What Have We Learned in 75 Years?" And I'll do that soon, okay? I'll do that soon, but it'd take me 75 years to preach it, so I don't want to take away your meal. So, but thank you for being here. We trust that this has been an encouragement. You young people, some of you who've not been in the assembly for very long, many who had never been to Forest Avenue, I hope this was helpful to give you a little background. The buildings are not what's important, but the buildings are kind of landmarks, I guess you'd say, places that we've been able to meet and that God has allowed us to use and come together as the people of God to remember His Son every Sunday morning, to gather for the teaching of the Word of God, to meet together for prayer, and to enjoy fellowship. Acts 2:42, that's our theme this year. So let's close in prayer. I'm going to give thanks for the food. Remind the parents of the first graders, come and get them. Other parents, you might want to make sure you grab your children as you go up there to eat. Remember, older folks, if you consider yourself an older folk, you can move into the front part if you'd like to with the air condition. So thank you for being here. Thank you for your part in 75 years, and we look forward to the years to come. come. Father, thank you for blessing us. To your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name, O Father, be the glory. To your name, Lord Jesus, be the glory for all that you have done. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your truth. We thank you that you are in heaven and you do what you please. And Father, it's our desire as individual believers to yield ourselves to you, that you might do what you please in and through us, in and through this local assembly as we move into the future. Father, we thank you for the Danville Bible Chapel. We thank you for the Reidsville Bible Chapel that have both been birthed out of this local assembly. We pray for them. We pray for your blessing upon their work and their families and their ministries. And we pray for this local assembly. Father, I pray for any here this morning that don't know the Lord Jesus, that you'll convict their heart of their sin. Help them to see the beauty of Christ. And we pray that we would all go forward for you. Thank you for the food you provided. Bless our time as we eat it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Happy anniversary.